All right, so first off, you know, we were just checking out some stuff. You know, we always try to listen to the artist, especially right before the interview, get a feel for things, you know?
Yeah.
I want the people to know, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your projects, past and present, from, like, the Weatherman to everything?
My first record is called Movies for the Blind, and it's basically about former years of my life mixed with fantastical delusion and drug glorification, and I glued it all together with misogyny. And my second record is called Hell's Winter, and it's kind of a growing up record of sorts, kind of waking up, kind of like drugs kicking your ass for many years, and then you get tired of drugs and you realize you can't do them anymore. And then kind of waking, coming out of this drug coma, realizing I had a music career, and kind of stopped making fun of the fucked up things in my life, and trying to kind of fix myself, I guess, for lack of better words. And the new record is called Depart For Me, and it's a record about completely not giving a fuck about anything in life, including following rules, be it music, especially the genre of music, and trying to create my own genre.
Right.
So
it does seem like it seems like you've progressed a lot, you know, from your earlier albums, going from like the drug glorification, you know. And I think you said it in another interview, I think with UGG.com or something, you know, like, why are we doing this unless to be progressive? You know, how do you think that works into your music now as far as being progressive? Where do you think you're taking that now?
Well, being progressive in this day and age is pretty easy, I think, because everyone's kind of just chasing their tails or competing to make the same few songs about ostentatious nonsense and autobiographical songs about them making money. I just get bored with things. I've kind of applied the way that I look at life to art, because I just kind of just get bored with things. I'm one of, I'm sure many people can relate, that some personality types like myself suck the life and fun out of everything and then spit it out and we'll move on to something else. Be it relationships, video games, film, what have you. So I'm kind of trying to not do that anymore. It's proving to be very challenging. So I just kind of apply that process to making art as well. Got tired of joining in to the, I won't join into any of their reindeer games. So
that was going to lead me to my next question, which was, you know, basically, like, now, what do you feel like in life or art or anything drives your music, lyrically or musically, you know?
I feel like it's kind of at times driving itself, and then realizing you're sitting shotgun and noticing no one's behind the wheel. That's how I like to drive.
I like the way that's put. That's nice.
Thanks.
You know, what do you feel, and this is a question we ask every hip-hop artist, you know, what do you feel your strongest relationship is to hip-hop?
Well, I grew up listening to it. I grew up, you know, listening to that as well as a lot of other types of music. Because my immediate circle of friends, it was the go-to. I listened to it more than other types of music until I was about 14 or so. I've probably been listening to hip-hop since I was 11, 10 or 11. And, you know, you have the classic rock influence in the house, you know.
Right.
Parents playing music of their day. it helped shape my personality. It helped shape, it was strange because it was like it was music I started listening to, and a year after listening to it, I was doing it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that was a strange relationship. It was just something that I did. And it ended up being something that got me a lot of attention because it was, I do it all the time, and so did a lot of other people, but I got a lot more attention doing it than a lot of other people that I knew or that I was friends with or crews that I joined at the end of breakdancing, when breakdancing died.
Right.
It is a part of me. It's still a part of me. It's always going to be a part of me. You know, some purists, say that this isn't a hip-hop record, but I'm clearly rapping on every song. And maybe just not rapping like everyone else, but doing it in my own sort of way. I just want to make, music that is powerful, or I go for an epic vibe.
Right.
Because I feel like that's like doing something epic is almost impossible to try to pull off. And it's so such a ballsy move to say, hey, I'm going to go for epic shit. So I kind of feel like I set the bar far, far, far out of reach. So that this way I kind of kick myself in the ass to really pull something off. And at its weakest, it's still something that may perhaps like sit in your head because it was designed to do so. So.
Makes sense. You see that? I just watched your music video before the interview. I Never Knew You?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting track. I've never heard that track. What album is that off of? Or is that
that's
off the new?
That's off the new album, yeah. The last song on the new album. In short, it's called Inky. There's a few songs on the record that are kind of have this slow, droning vibe to them.
Well, that one kind of fit. I mean, the theme of the song was definitely kind of morbid. I liked it myself, but
thanks. It's weird. I mean, it was a very weird single choice.
That is a weird single choice.
You don't ever see anyone do like a strange off the wall single like that, especially commercially. And being on an indie label and having MTV get behind it, having Spin get behind it, having these pop culture mediators get behind the project was very strange. I wrote on Movies for the Blind, Too Bad No Planes Flew into MTV.
Right.
And have them really get behind the project was very strange, but it's almost like as a child, like, getting a hug from a relative that you've never met, a distant relative, and they kind of give you a hug and kiss you on the cheek, and you don't really know how to take it, but you take it.
Right.
That's how I would describe what's going on right now.
That's a good way to put it. I like that. I noticed that Shia directed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your relationship with him? Have you guys, been friends for a while, or what's going on?
Yeah, we became friends in 2005. He was a fairly unknown actor with a few really cool movies under his belt. They approached me, said, "Hey, I want to make a movie about you," and I was like, "Yeah, whatever, dude." And I had heard, it's not the first time I heard this before. I've been approached by tons of film school kids.
Right.
NYU, and yeah, do my thesis on you, bro. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Right.
But I had a couple of conversations. I checked him out on IMDb to see who he was, saw his credits. So he was a Disney actor. And I was, it was strange to me, but, there was something funny about that he was a Disney actor that wanted to play me in a movie, and which I thought was cool. So we talked, and he followed me in 2005 on tour, filming a documentary on me as to have power for a pitch to his agency, as to educate them as to who I was, the subject he wanted to make a film about. And through the process, we became friends, and then we walked away from a major deal on the table for an indie film for
nice.
for several million dollars. And he said, "Hey, trust me, I got a couple of big roles coming up. Trust me, this is going to be better for both of us and for the project." So I trusted him, and it was almost like, you know, I woke up and he was like one of the biggest, you know, actors in the world.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and then over years we just became a lot closer. We've gone through a few scripts that we both hated, and we kind of shaved a lot of unimportant things out about the story, trying to figure out what the story was. And you know, and now we're looking for a writer right now. So I mean, the movie's still going. I mean, that's why he did the video.
Right.
Why you know, was involved, just to kind of make people aware.
Yeah.
You know, make the create some sort of demand.
You know, and I noticed in that video too, it definitely seemed a little bit away from what you usually do, like as far as music stylings go. I mean, is that some sort of influence? Do you have a lot of influence outside of hip hop that might have directed that?
I mean, always. I mean, from the beginning, you know, I was listening to, you know, I'd be listening to like BDP and Iron Maiden. You know, like I'd like was making little tapes with, like, you know, everything that I like, you know, from like Black Sabbath to Kool G Rap, you know, and you know, getting like little different colored outliners and, you know, and tagging the tape up, and you know, and that I've always wanted to do that, you know, and like the most I was ever able to really kind of do that was
right.
just by like referencing, like, you know, in a line or something, or
all right,
well, you know, a lyric or something. So
well, we're running out of time here, unfortunately, but hey, I did want to ask you, how do you feel about piracy in music?
I mean, I think it's just, you know, it's like asking people how they feel about, you know, the depletion of the ozone layer. It's inevitable. It's happening. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So,
good way to put it.
Yeah, I'm for it, and I'm for it when it's when it works for me, and I'm against it when it's stealing from me.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, well,
yeah,
we would love to do a follow-up with you sometime, you know, and if you're
sure.
ever in town, you know, just let us know. We can always help you out.